Okay, welcome to March. We're in March, Trevor. Welcome to Two Peas and a Podcast for March with Michelle.
And Trevor, and it's the 19th of March. It's actually 2 days after St. Patrick.
Do you know my son was due on St. Patrick's Day 26 years ago?
Is he that old?
Oh, I know he is that old. And he was born late March. He hasn't been on time since.
Well, I mean, this is very opportune. I think we mentioned it last week in that there's a bloke called Barry McDougall. He's in Gawler and he's got a three-generation sweet pea garden. And you wouldn't think that's true, would you? But in fact, it is true. And I went along and saw him and had a chat with him. And it must be the most spectacular vertical garden possibly in Gawler. I mean, he's got 12 rows of 30 metres, 3 metres high. So he's got hundreds of metres of sweet peas that he's already started planting. So he started planting in February.
Oh, okay. Because I'm doing mine this weekend.
Yeah, well, so am I. But he's a specialist, right? He's hardly got anything else. And he just specialises in sweet pea. Well, it would be a heck of a sight. And a smell.
I was going to say, the smell of sweet peas. I didn't have huge success last year. I had, interestingly enough, a lot of the white ones came up. But I've got a new trellising system.
Yep.
And it worked beautifully for my sunflowers. So my sunflowers are done.
Right.
And so this weekend I'm going to dig them up and do the loam. And the mistake I think I made last year was I didn't soak them overnight. And an Italian woman told me you have to soak the sweet peas seeds overnight. Do you do that?
Well, there's a lot of myths. Well, for a start, you don't have to limit yourself to St. Patrick's Day. Anytime March, April is fine, and you can plant them again in spring, apparently. But now is the time to plant them, and that's what this guy's doing. He's planting them in trellises with an east-west axis, so their main face is to the north. It's extremely well organised. But for the person that we're talking to who just wants to grow a bit of a vertical garden with beautiful flowering, lovely colours and smell sweet pea. Well, if you have got a bit of a north fence, put a bit of chicken wire over it and plant them about 50 mil apart in order to get about 100 mil apart. Peas don't actually need a lot of preparation. It would be good to make sure that the soil is not acidic. You need it to be alkaline. Not too alkaline, but if 7 is neutral, well, it needs to be about 8 or 9. And so if you've got a north-facing fence or trellis or something like that, and you just imagine that in the most beautiful colours in August to November, well, that is well worth thinking about at this stage of the year. You have to wait until then for the flowering to take place, and you have to prune them a bit in order to lengthen their stems, would you believe? It's not really to get more flowers or anything.
Okay.
But apparently you prune them so that the main branch is strong and high, although there's not many of us who've got 3 metre trellises. I've got 2 metre trellises. So
mine's about 1.50 metre.
So this is our man. We hope to get him back, or we hope to go and see his display sometime. We do recommend you buy local. I mean, there are a lot of sweet peas on the market, but they're from interstate basically. And really, there's another woman who's trying to get hold of Barry's best examples and turn them into global sensations. So you can buy packets of Barry's seeds at Mitre 10 and Vidulis in Gawler, and also at the Barossa Nursery, and they're very cheap. So do yourself a favour, buy yourself a packet of them, prepare the land a bit, find a north facing, I actually grow them on east and west facing.
I was going to say, mine's east west, and they're very distinctive because they're in the little brown packets, aren't they?
They're in a
plain brown packet.
Yeah, you've got a sweet pea seed.
They're not expensive either, $4.50 or
something? Very, very cheap, yeah.
Very cheap, yeah.
So you don't get a lot, but you don't need a lot. That would be a sensation in your garden if you could manage to put it in now.
Yeah.
I think we'll stay in contact with him and hope to get him and his son along, because they are local identities. And I think we're getting away from globalisation and getting towards localisation.
Absolutely. And support people who are that sort of, what's it called, you know, the local native plants, the local biodiversity. Hugely important. I've even noticed with me planting a lot more natives lately that are endemic, is that the right word? Endemic, indigenous to this area. They are thriving. They're going bananas. Do it.
Yeah, I planted all three of the indigenous ones, and the currently the peppermint, the odorata eucalyptus, not only is it big and tall and beautiful, but it's flowering, has small flowers, and it's attracting a lot of bees, almost to the point of being able to hear the buzz as you walk past. So, you know, the indigenous plants are not always the most spectacular, but certainly they're worth having, and certainly they're encouraging, you know, magpies and the white cheek honey eater and thornbills and a whole lot of things. So, yeah, the indigenous.
I had probably about five or six lorikeets. And my gosh, they're beautiful, aren't they? They're just gorgeous. Yeah, bright green, just so beautiful.
You know, they've got a purple head. They're called purple crested lorikeets. Even though they look like grass parrots, they've got the same green.
Yeah, they're absolutely beautiful. So I guess that brings us to the fact that we are going to keep talking about flowers today, and I do have an announcement to make, Trevor.
Yes.
My announcement is that I'm actually not going to plant heaps of vegetables this week.
Oh!
I know. Only because, with the job, a little bit of the time factor, but I'm really becoming obsessively into the herbs and the flowers. And we've discussed this 100 times. You go to buy a manky herb from the shop, as opposed to, I've had bathtubs, so I've got my bathtubs full of herbs and vegetables. The basil, just got this bathtub full of basil, and it's literally fed the street. I've said to the neighbours, don't ask, go and help yourself, cut heaps of it, absolutely go for it, you know, pesto until our eyeballs bleed. I made a beautiful lasagna with it, but the herbs and stuff, and then the flowers. So I've moved a fence and then planted a whole bunch of flowers, and apparently I'm a really good flower grower.
Excellent.
I am. I'm a really good flower grower, so I'm going to experiment. They're just going bananas, Trevor. It's actually working. It's just like, oh my gosh, like it's a revelation to me. So I thought I'm actually going to experiment a little bit more with flowers because I haven't done that before, and I thought I would. What are your favourites, Trevor?
Well, actually, I got millions of favourites, really. I don't always remember their name, which is pretty insulting to my favourites. But I have, when I started looking at the number of flowers that I've got and that I know about, there are a lot. You know, the ones I currently got, I have done the sunflower. Mine are still beautiful. Some are brought inside and displayed inside. Others are feeding the chooks. And others are just feeding the bees. So sunflowers, I mean, I never grew up really. I'm just a child still.
No, I love sunflowers. I agree.
I've got hollyhock. Now, there are people who talk about Russell lupins. And what's the other big flower spike?
Foxglove.
Yeah, foxglove.
And
so we can't grow them here because it's too hot for them. But the hollyhocks present you with a very drought-tolerant, beautiful flower spike for many months of the year. So I think that's beautiful myself.
I do. And someone said to me once, I said, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, I pulled out all the hollyhocks. They're like a weed. And I'm thinking, what a fabulous weed. Why would you do that? It's just like, they're beautiful. They're like the quintessential cottage garden too, aren't they?
Well, they are a bit of a weed, but you ought to try your luck on, what's that one that attracts bees like? Really madness.
Borage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Borage.
You know the borage you gave me? Yeah. Love it. It's just
mad, isn't it?
I love borage. Don't pull it up with bare hands.
No, it's a bit prickly.
It's a bit prickly, but I love it. So I'll make a salad and put borage flowers through the salad and nasturtiums through the salad. So just a beautiful big green salad, borage and nasturtium flowers in it. Looks like this amazing gourmet thing. It's just absolutely fabulous.
You're a very bad woman. Both of those are pests. I mean, the nasturtiums are a pest too, apparently.
I love
have seen them. We grow them here without a problem. I think we can kill everything here by just not watering. I think if we withdrew water, anything dies here.
Well, actually, I had nasturtiums took over my backyard. They were crazy, but the ducks, they like the seeds, but they've left some of them alone, which is good.
I'm not like you. I'm not about to change over to simply decorative. I'm still talking functional.
Trevor's not going all pretty, listeners.
But chooks, see, chook food is fairly important if you want a quality egg, right?
Yeah.
And it is a good excuse to grow any amount of weeds.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, things like spinach, you might not consider a weed, but they grow like a weed.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And milk thistle is a weed, and it keeps coming up.
I'm known to, on my walks, pick up milk thistles and stuff like that, and I'll kind of go home with this great big handful of them and chuck them to the chooks, because and guinea pigs go crazy for them, for the milk thistle.
And there's this beautiful purple flowering thing at present called amaranthus.
Oh, yes.
And we got it everywhere, like it's coming out. I could give you 40 little seedlings at present because they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're lovely.
But it's a beautiful purple flower. It's probably not really considered a flower. It's more like a cereal. But it's still nice to have something that you don't have to worry about and keeps coming up.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the like rocket. Rocket. Once you've got rocket, you've always got rocket.
I have deliberately planted certain things. Reading my herb book, do you know Salsify?
Yes.
It's like a white carrot, but it's hairy.
Oh.
At any rate, it's a beautiful flower. I mean, it's actually a herb, but it's a beautiful flower. And same thing with the, what's the one that's like an olive? The one I got out on the mound there, it's got, I've forgotten again. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute.
See, I let my carrot go to seed, which is like a big flower.
Yeah.
A beautiful big ball. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. Like, I was quite happy to leave it, to be perfectly honest.
There is a lot of very useful plants that are also flowers, you see. So I'm not having any trouble with lavenders and rosemary. No. They're good standbys.
My rosemary, I actually went and bought some clippers. It's nearly ready to trim into a neat and tidy hedge. In my fantasy, that's what I'm going to do, into a neat and tidy hedge. But you know what also is a beautiful flower is pumpkin flowers. And it's edible, and you pick your pumpkin flowers, of which you get so many. Take the middle out, ricotta. You know, I can't help but share a recipe. You get your ricotta, right? A bit of nutmeg, put some herbs, a bit of garlic, mix it all up. Gently place it in the pumpkin flour, bake it. Stuffed pumpkin flour. Zucchini flour, pumpkin flour. Oh, yum.
Yeah, well, certainly lavender, rosemary and the salvias are all brilliant, really. Because sage is a salvia.
Yeah,
right?
I love sage. Love sage. Sage, butter, pasta,
that's right, that's
bang,
it.
Done. You're done.
Sage, butter, that's the one, though.
Yeah, you're done.
So they are my favourite plants. I have put a few gerberas in. Gerberas are a big daisy. I must say that you can plant as many daisies as you like and none of them would go astray.
Yeah.
And they are very good as landing platforms for butterflies and the bees and the
moths. Do you know what else is my favourite? And I planted it because you and Nita have got heaps of them, is the great big, the hedge you've got down the side.
That one there. The dahlia.
Buddleia. Buddleias, what a beautiful flower that is. And I was sitting, I've got a garden chair just near where the vegetables are, and I'll sometimes sit there and like butterflies and bees really close. Like if you sit really quietly, they'll come quite close if they just get used to you. But I love the buddleias. I just think they're so beautiful.
Yeah, and you've given us the tree dahlia, and dahlia itself is a beautiful thing. There is a whole host that the trouble with flowers is there's so many of them that if you go to a book and do some landscaping from the book, you then go to the nursery and none of them are available, but a whole lot of other ones are. So there are hundreds and thousands of flowers. So,
do you know what we should work out? I just thought of it is, you know how in, not ancient times, but in the old days, you would send flowers as this beautiful message. So, you know, if you got a yellow flower, it meant one thing. And if you got, well, if you get a dozen red roses, I mean, my gosh, that was romantic. I actually received a dozen red roses in my life, Trevor. I have received a dozen red roses.
Haven't you? Bloody woman.
But, you know, the language of flowers, I think, is exquisitely beautiful. And how much easier. So, you know, you'd get your bunch of flowers, and if there was yellow flowers, you realise you've been dumped. But if there was white flowers that are asking you to do something, I don't know, I've got to do more research into it. But I love that language of flowers, which is just so beautiful.
I think you've just discovered that there are two categories of flowers. One is the ones you pick for inside.
Yeah.
And the other ones that look best in the field. So there is that thing of a potager where you actually pick pick 'em to put inside, and that is what the sweet pea man's doing. He's deliberately getting long stems on them so they look good in a vase.
Oh, gorgeous.
And the one I was trying to think of was Canterbury.
Oh, yes.
Because they've got a beautiful flower. I mean, and so has the Allium, and so have the Lucerne is a purple flower.
Passion fruit.
Yeah.
How gorgeous is the passion fruit vine flower? That is, it's almost like this galactic thing, you know, intergalactic yeah. thing, isn't it? But my favourite, you know what my favourite flower is?
Haven't you told us yet?
The daisy.
Daisy.
If I was ever mad enough to get married, Trevor, I'd have a bouquet of daisies.
I think daisies are the best stand vine. There are so many of them. There's seaside daisies, Singapore daisies, and tropical daisies, and temperate daisies. There's so many of them that it's hopeless trying to list them. And like I say,
there are people called Daisy. Daisy the cow, it's never ending, Trevor.
Wasn't Donald Duck's wife called Daisy?
Daisies are gorgeous. And the other one is, you know, and I know Nita doesn't like them, but I do love them, the good old rose. I love
I don't
a rose.
Like them either.
You don't like roses?
No, they're good for the bonfire heap.
Oh, no, Trevor, you're breaking my heart. I mean, they grow so beautifully here in the Barossa.
Yeah, they do. They're a good grower, but you have to prune them.
Yeah, that's true. Do you know when I know that it's time to prune the roses?
No.
When my neighbour prunes her roses and I think, right, I better get out there and prune my roses. The gentleman across the road, he's lived in the house there for 60 years. He has a rose bush, would be a subtle word, rose tree that his mother planted. And it's exquisite. It's that beautiful old rose, old-fashioned roses, and the smell that drifts across the road. Mm. And he's so generous. I say to him, can I pick a bunch of roses? And he goes, oh, do what you want with them. And I just pick this beautiful bunch of roses because they're just, oh.
I do love flowers in the house. I think they actually bring the house alive. And I did have a rose, a Banksia rose it was called, that grew over across.
Oh, I've got a Banksia rose.
Okay, well they grow over gateways and stuff
and
like that.
And that's purple, that's beautiful, Banksia rose.
Mine was
rose,
yellow,
yeah.
But anyway. So yeah, there's a lot of plants I have planted and that you would say I like, but there's just so many flowers aren't they?
I know.
I mean, you could study, we haven't even mentioned things like orchids, and there's people who make a study of orchids and there's hibiscus and, you know.
I had a beautiful hibiscus when I moved into my house, but it was an old one. It died quite soon after I moved in, which was sad. But it was right in the doorway, because, of course, my house is quite close to the road, and it was this beautiful blood red flower. And I used to, you know, I live in a very old cottage, and I used to think the beautiful blood red flowers almost made my cottage look like, you know, an old lady who'd put some red lippy on for church or something. It was just these beautiful hibiscus. I love them. Love them. I don't know, how can you hate a flower just quietly?
Well, you can't. That's the trouble. I mean, see that one just out there? There's little spikes behind this one here.
Is that called the butterfly one?
Yeah, it's Gowra.
Gowra. Is that the formal name, is it? Because I've got that. I love it.
Yeah, it is good. And, you know, there's some salvias there too. So all the things that...
Plumbago. You've got plumbago out here. I mean, what a beautiful hedge that is, even though it's sticky and drives my other neighbour mad as they're trying to turn it into something nice.
I bought the bee and butterfly seed collection. The trouble with it is it doesn't recognise seasons. And so you put some of the bee and butterfly flower mixes in the soil and half of them will come up because half of them are for that season, the other half for the other season.
And I did that last year with them as well because, you know, COVID, you're home, so you do all those lovely things. Verbena. I planted verbena last year.
Yeah.
Gee, that's got a beautiful flower on it, hasn't it?
You should try echinacea.
Oh,
so that's another beauty. Penstemon's another beauty. Dianthus digitalis, they're all good.
Yeah.
And I do have a love of cosmos.
Yes, I was going to say I love cosmos, love it.
Oh, mine's a recently gained love, so you'd have to say it was a...
Say I was a teenager in the 80s, so baby's tears was in every bouquet of flowers that every bride ever took down the aisle. It was just... and some of these fabulous baby's tears. So I have many memories of being a bridesmaid holding a bouquet of baby's tears with taffeta. You actually cannot have baby's tears without a taffeta dress, I've decided. So the 80s have got a lot to answer to.
They certainly conjure up that sort of thing, don't they?
They certainly do. It was hilarious. But no, and you know, the good old lavender, I do love lavender.
I mean, rosemary is obviously brilliant for both. It's actually a substitute for basil with tomatoes, and it's also brilliant in potatoes. So it's definitely one that you should, I mean, both lavender and rosemary, if you haven't got them growing, put them in, you know. I mean, you only need to buy one because they're tough.
They are tough. Well, I pruned back my lavender the other day, but I got a bunch of lavender and rosemary, and I tied them with a bit of string. And I soaked some blankets and stuff like that. And then I actually placed the rosemary and lavender in the washing machine water. Soaked it for like a day. And then, oh my gosh.
The potpourri.
Smells beautiful. That, yes.
Well, the main ingredients, don't
they? Smelt really, really lovely. I was really thrilled with it. I thought, oh, let's see how that goes. It was lovely. Lavender and rosemary tea. So my daughter-in-law said it's a perfect for sleeping. So you get a bit of rosemary and a bit of lavender and you ice steep it in the morning, and then when you go to bed, heat it up in the microwave because it's been steeping all day. A little bit of honey. Always going to have a little bit of honey. Best night's sleep you could ever hope for. A chamomile. My God, how pretty is the chamomile flower? That's surely that comes from the Daisy family. Too. Yeah. And that's one that you plant once and you've got for the rest of your life. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, there are the ones you can get, which are pansies and daisies and stuff. There's nothing wrong with them either. You plant them en masse and they look good.
Yeah.
So there's almost an indescribable number of flowers that you can do. And like I say, there are the ones that you want in the landscape or the ones that you want to bring inside.
I was at the Botanical Gardens last night for a fringe show, but in the Rose Park. What a gorgeous backdrop. You're just sort of sitting there amongst the roses. It's dark, but you can still sort of see these little glimmers of them. And look at
I'm a bit disappointed in their veggie garden at the Botanic Gardens. Like, they're obviously horticulturalists and they're incurable landscapers. So they use purple kale and they use all the different colours, and they've got about one tomato that's not doing too well. And it's not really a veggie garden. They're the opposite to us. We turn flowers into vegetables. They turn vegetables into flowers.
It's true, isn't it? It's a little bit odd, I think.
Well, it's all based on colours and composition and, you know, planting in groups and that sort of thing. It's almost like perennial borders again, you know.
That's true, that's true. I think, but I personally think kale's only uses as a flower.
Well, yeah, although you're turning on me. You're becoming the not only the cook but the flower girl as well. No, I'm interested. I think you could go a long way.
Do you reckon? I don't know. I think what I liked about it is there is less of that daily input for flowers than there is for vegetables.
Yeah, there is.
I know. And my tomatoes, I mean, they went spectacularly well. They kind of go bananas and you feel like you're obliged to go out and harvest them all.
Picking's a problem,
It is, and certainly the flowers, it doesn't matter if you're pick them or not. So you don't have that sense of, oh, I've got to go pick the flowers or I've got to go pick this sort of thing. So I guess that's what I like. And I remember growing up, you know, Friday was Mum's house cleaning day. Mind you, we're Dutch, so every day the house was spotless. I don't know why she had a special day. No, it's ridiculous. Seriously, you could have operated on my mum's kitchen table. But Friday was particular. Now, I grew up where, Trevor, you wash the windows every week. That was part of normal house cleaning. But I loved it because you'd come home from school and, you know, we didn't have hardly any money, but Mum had all these beautiful little glass jars of flowers throughout the house. It was just, it was beautiful. I loved it. I love flowers.
It does do that. Of course, you mentioned Dutch. Well, we haven't even started on bulbs.
Oh, chills. Oh, and I've been to Kokenhof and, oh, it is a vision. And a friend of mine has an Instagram page, Leah, you know Leah well. She has an Instagram page called I Said Love, I Said Petal, because she's so obsessed with flowers. She has got a page associated with them. So, yes, I went to Kokenhof and saw the tulips, and what a vision. What a beautiful flower.
Oh, well, famous, yeah.
Yeah, what a beautiful flower. That was amazing. One day I will get, but I'm supposed to be there now. No, May. So it was my auntie's 70th and my 50th this year, and we were supposed to go back in May, but...
The virus has ruined it all.
It has ruined it all. We'll go back in 5 years or whatever. But anyway, Trevor, I suppose, my little sweet pea, we should wind it up a bit.
Well, I was thinking that your good friend might help us out with pots.
Trish, she is the most amazing container gardener. I swear, if you put your cup down for too long, before you know it, you've got 15 different herbs and a bush in it. She is incredible. So we're going to invite her next month.
Yeah, we'll try and get an invite to her place to have a look at it first, because it's in South Gawler too.
It is. She would love us to come. I think if we turn up with a nice little bottle of red, she would not mind at all. I'll talk to her on the weekend.
And see if she would talk with you about pots. Because I think, in a way, we direct our podcasts at the 20-somethings who have just bought a house and are setting it up. In a way, that's our target audience. And pots are big for them, not only for herbs and for flowers, but also because, well, like my funny wife says, she says, doesn't soil just come in bags? So people who want cleanliness first, without all the mess and stuff, you know, shovels and the picks and the nails in your feet that you get when you garden, they actually like the idea of pots because it's a controlled situation, you know? It's a veranda or it's inside or it's a hot house. So I think if you and Trish could try to get together and do pots...
Oh, it doesn't take much to encourage Trish and I to get together. So... next month, we've got Trish and pots and containers. You should see, honestly, she has the most amazing... It's incredible. I'm excited now.
Okay.
You're excited now. So, we will
plant
our sweet pea this weekend.
Definitely.
And talk to everybody next month. What do you reckon?
I think they should plant their sweet peas too. I don't think get slack. I think get them in now, and at least before April's over. And, that would be a beautiful thing to everyone be able to smell their sweet peas.
It would be lovely. All right. Well, thank you, Trevor, and talk to you next month.
Talk to you then, Michelle.